This morning's scripture is Luke 10, 1 through 12 and 17 through 20. As this is a gospel reading, please rise as you are able. After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go on your way. See, I am sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say peace to this house. And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person, but if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick who are there and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you. Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near.' I tell you, on that day it will be more tolerable for Sodom than for that town." The 70 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, in your name even the demons submit to us." He said to them, "I have watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. See, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Well, this is going to date me a bit, but youngsters, there used to be a store called Sears. Y'all remember when they were a big deal. They had stores all over. What started as a mail order company in 1892, Sears Roebuck and Company grew into one of the largest retailers of the 20th century. Sears was a place to buy a washer or a power drill, but back in the early 90s, the company wanted to soften their image to get more women into their stores. The Softer Side ad campaign, Don't You Dare Sing It, Sears aimed commercials at these middle-class women, encouraging them to update their style, such as buying heels instead of power tools. And some of us remember that jingle, "I Will Not Sing It, Come See the Softer Side of Sears." The campaign was very successful. Clothing sales tripled over the next 5 years. They even beat out Walmart for a while. Sears wanted to appear warmer, more stylish, more inviting. And today we're talking about the softer side of discipleship. But by this, I don't mean something that's easy or ineffective. The softer side of being a disciple isn't flashy or glamorous. It certainly isn't stylish. It often shows up in small, faithful, unnoticed ways. It's a kind of softness, for lack of a better term, that requires strength and patience and being present. I recently read the story in the magazine called Christian Century. It's a really good magazine for, I would say, progressive denominations, Methodists, Presbyterians, and such. And there was a story in there about a pastor named Maggie Johnson. She had dreamed of a powerful ministry, maybe in a church with hundreds of people and doing big acts of justice and world peace. But instead, she was appointed in a very small church in Indianapolis. At first, she felt discouraged because it seems like she spent all of her time doing humble tasks, like washing dishes in the community kitchen and crocheting on the porch with someone who was grieving. But later, she found that it was in these small tasks that she was really connecting with folks in her community on a very deep level. The pastor of a small Christian community in the middle of a city, Maggie found that washing dishes or crocheting with someone let her listen and talk. It was her ministry in a time when we really don't do this that much anymore. Reverend Maggie found a new place for herself and those that she was ministering to in the small, unnoticeable things, in the soft sort of approach to ministry, bringing softness to the hard times of life. She wrote, quote, "Peacemaking is the daily, tedious work of living out our redemption story in everyday interactions." You know, I think this is the kind of softness that Jesus is calling us to in Luke chapter 10, a discipleship that is big in small ways, powerful but soft, and shares the grace of Jesus person by person. Well, today we read about the time when Jesus sent 70 ministers, some translations say 72, in pairs to all the towns that he had planned to visit. This would be a hard job. They'd be short-staffed. It would be a hard sell. Jesus told them that he was sending them out as lambs among wolves. Don't everyone volunteer at once. Jesus told them, don't take anything, no bag nor sandals. Instead, they would depend on God and the hospitality of strangers. They weren't to greet other people on the road. It sounds a little harsh, but basically they were supposed to be single-minded and focused on their mission, not distracted. And when they got to their new appointment, I'm sounding like a Methodist, they were supposed to enter with this blessing, peace to this house. Jesus was drawing on a deep-rooted tradition here. Peace appears more than 400 times in the Bible. If it's repeated, it's got to be important. And basically, peace comes from God, it's manifest in Jesus Christ, and it's a sacred gift that we're called to share. That's the cliff notes of the peace in the Bible. In the Old Testament, the word for peace is shalom, a word that means far more than just absence of conflict or tension. And shalom speaks of wholeness, of a right relationship. It talks about harmony with God, with others, and with creation. It's about things being set right. It's not just an absence of stress. It's really where all things are made right and equal. The prophets longed for shalom to be in this, to be restored in this world, a world where justice flows like water and swords are beaten into plowshares. In the New Testament, the Greek word used for peace can mean tranquility or rest, but it's the same sort of thing as shalom. It's about comprehensive well-being, harmony of heart and life with God and with others. And so when Jesus goes and he tells the 70 to enter homes and say peace to this house, he's inviting them to do more than offer just a friendly greeting. He's telling them to extend the deep restorative peace of God's kingdom, to really to speak blessing upon people, to really share blessing and remember how it would be hard work. It would not work all the time. Not everyone was friendly. Some were hostile. But when this happens, Jesus said, the peace will return to you. In other words, don't let anyone take your peace. If the house was friendly, Jesus gave them standard etiquette lesson, or a standard etiquette lesson that everybody knew in the day. Eat what people cook you, clean your plate, stay in one place, receive their hospitality, don't bounce around from house to house because you don't like what you've got in the one setting. And this also may be a reminder that the old dietary laws of the Old Testament no longer matter. Hospitality and love mattered the most. Well, Jesus gave them specific tasks for their mission, to cure the sick, and he also gave them one more thing to say. The kingdom of God has come near you. Now, if they entered a town and they weren't welcome, Jesus gave them a very specific command. They were supposed to shake the dust of the, they were to go into the street and shake the dust of that town off of their feet. Because if they weren't treated hospitably, their feet wouldn't have been washed and their feet would have been dirty. So it wasn't just symbolic. Their feet would have literally been dirty. And they were supposed to go out into the street, shake the dust of that town, and basically tell them that the town of Sodom in the Old Testament would have had it easier than that town. That's pretty harsh. Because remember Sodom? Probably heard about it. The place, it was a place known in the Bible where godly visitors were sexually abused by men of the town. And due to their abject mistreatment and inhospitality of the men that were sent by God, the town was destroyed by fire. The story of Sodom and Gomorrah has been used to condemn and judge LGBTQIA people when what really happened was real abuse, and it just happened to be among men. Notice that Jesus did not say anything about homosexuality here. Instead, he's talking about treating others with respect, dignity, love, and peace. And so I feel that anyone who uses the story of Sodom to represent anything other than judgment against mistreatment, abuse, and inhospitality is really committing the very sin that he's warning against. Jesus is talking about mutual hospitality here, about simple love, care, and respect that each of us deserve to receive. He told them, whoever listens to you, listens to me. Whoever rejects you, rejects me. In other words, hospitality to others is a basic Christ-like principle. And because when you love and welcome others, you love and welcome God's very self. Well, after some time, all of these people came back from this hard task full of joy. They had wonderful reports, success stories, and through their acts of love and peace and in the hospitality that they themselves experienced, they defeated the very powers of Satan. Now, we United Methodists may say they rejected the powers of evil in all the forms they manifest themselves. That's in our baptismal vows. They even fought against snakes and scorpions. This is symbolic. Don't you be bringing any snakes into this place. Cats are welcome. That spiky dragon thing last Sunday, that was a stretch. It seems like hospitality that was shared and received in each of these towns, it was holy, but it was more than that. It was life-changing. It cured the sick. It brought the kingdom of God to these places. They fought against evil in all the forms that it manifested itself. The spirits submitted to them and names were written in heaven. This was hard work, this discipleship business, isn't it? It never seemed like there were enough people, never enough resources. It was scary at times. It brought odds at times, people, even their neighbors. It was powerful, though. It was life-changing, but it was pretty simple stuff. It wasn't easy, but it was simple. Love others and let them love you. Simple. Cure the sick. Invoke the kingdom of God and its nearness. Now, you may think, well, curing the sick, that's something you can't do unless you're God or a medical professional, but thousands more would be alive in our world today if they had access to adequate health care, and it's not just doctors that are on the hook for that. The kingdom of God, it's not a place, it's a state of mind. It's a state of mind, it's an experience where every valley shall be lifted up, every mountain and hill be made low, every rough ground level, the rugged place is a plain. This is where all persons are treated with dignity and respect. That's peace to me, that's the kingdom of God, and it leads to the healing of disease and disease, whether in body or mind. Well, Jesus called his disciples to extreme simplicity and single-mindedness in their mission. But just because he called the 70 in this way doesn't mean he calls you and I the same. Some people are called to leave everything and follow Jesus. And what a witness. They're saints. Their devotion to Christ is really something that really, it's the extreme model of something that all of us should aspire to. But not all of us are called in this way. Yet all are called. And I want to take just a moment to think about the specific things that Jesus told them to say aloud. Peace to this house, and the kingdom of God has come near. The thing is, this may strike someone odd if it's the first thing you say when you enter their front door. So let me do a Sears and Roebuck and offer some, maybe soften things up a bit. Make this more relevant for us today. Maybe instead of, you know, peace to this house, we may say, I'm here for you. May God bless you. Can I help with that? You matter to me. These are things you all do. These are things I see among you. It's wonderful. I think this is how we speak shalom today. This is how we live the kingdom, softly but persistently, courageously. It's not in vogue. Softness isn't today. Peace, blessing, all of that, you know, it just go out and look and listen and you'll see. This is how we might embody the blessing that Jesus told his disciples to speak. Sometimes it may seem like ministry is in the small things, and really it often is. You go to seminary and study for 4 years, and you clean the toilets, and you serve food, and this is real ministry. And for the rest of us, we think of all, you know, we have big visions of what changing lives and conversion is like. And then we see so many people at dinner on Broadway and the thrift store and food pantry. This is ministry in the soft, small things that's powerful. It's in the things that each of us do every week that goes unnoticed, not to God, through our prayers, a text, a helping hand. These are the things that push back evil and injustice and bring about the kingdom of God and write names in heaven. There are times to speak up and to do so boldly, and I do believe that we're in such a time. But may we share the peace of God boldly, and may we bring about the kingdom of God in everything that we say and do. The softer side of discipleship isn't easy, especially in this noisy world. It's hard to share peace in a world steeped in aggression, injustice, and greed. The kingdom of God, though, doesn't always come with trumpets. It's always not all the loud things that you hear. Sometimes, many times, God shows up in a quiet moment, in simple kindness, in a gentle word, in peace. That's how the kingdom of God comes upon earth, sharing peace to everyone. And I believe it's powerful stuff. Let's pray. Loving God, we thank you for your challenge to us to share peace. Help us to be a church of blessing, to share peace, and to show through our words and our actions that your kingdom is closer than we realized. It's right here. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.